Today's reading is from John 6. It is from verses 60 to 65. And sometime later, you might want to look back ahead of that a little bit to find out how this sentence fits in. It's pretty profound. When many of the disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones who did not believe, and who was the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." And that ends our reading.
So last Sunday, I stood before you on Pentecost and spoke of how the gift of the Holy Spirit, from my perspective, was the gift of language, a faith language that we can use to speak our message of hope to the world. So now, having told you about the power of language, I'm going to go in a 180-degree different approach today about language and tell you language also has the capability of just muddling our minds totally. That's what happens on Trinity Sunday. When you try to do some spiritual mathematics that to your logical math minds makes literally no sense. When we talk about this concept of Trinity, the three ways to understand God in one person, and I try to stand up here and somehow shed some light and wisdom for you on when three equals one. And you know well in your minds that three will never equal one, but it does for the church all the time, and that's been the language we've been using since the beginning, to try to explain something that is truly unexplainable. So maybe I'll just leave it at where the choir left it today, with you kind of in some awe and joy over hearing some words about God. Because that's really the bottom line, isn't it? Trying to hear something about God that fills you with awe and joy. Because you can never fully understand those words that you've heard to describe God. The question for you to ponder next week, and we'll give you an opportunity to share like you did a moment ago from last Sunday, is how will you tell another person who God is? You ponder that for this week and see what big of a challenge I'm leaving you with this morning on Trinity Sunday. So here we walk into a gospel story that seems a bit odd. So let me give you a little context for John chapter 6. If you look in your Bible, the heading will say, "Words of Eternal Life." Now, we've gotten a little sense of eternal life, right? We're post-Easter people. But think of the disciples hearing Jesus talk about eternal life when they are pre-Easter people. What have they just seen him do? He's fed 5,000, and he didn't do it with 5,000 Happy Meals from the Golden Arches. He did it with one little lunch basket of some bread and fish. And then he's walked on water. When's the last time you did that with any success? And then he sits down and begins this long discourse talking about I am, because there's a whole bunch of those I am teachings in John's gospel. And he says, I am the bread of life. Some connections, obviously, back to that feeding miracle of the 5,000. And then he goes on to begin to talk about eternal life. Now, these disciples, probably, I'm sure by now, are wondering, what have we signed up for? And are asking the same question I just asked, who is this guy? How are we going to explain him to somebody else? They raise their hands and say, wait a minute, teacher, this is difficult. Have you ever sat in a class when you wanted to say that to the teacher or the professor? I don't have a clue what you're talking about. You've probably sat through a few of those classes yourselves. So imagine the disciples sitting there with Jesus, totally perplexed. The teaching is, as we say, above their head. And yet he simply says these words to them. What I am teaching you, these words that I am sharing are filled with life and spirit. Filled with life and spirit. Maybe that's all we need to say on Trinity Sunday. Maybe if I were to unpack it any further than that, I would just leave you totally muddled and confused and perhaps worse off than when you started with me this morning. But what is it we're trying to say about God? In our human language, with our English vocabulary, that we will very quickly discover fall short anytime we try to say words that explain and describe and define God. So where do we begin? If you're coming to Adult Ed today and looking with me at the last chapter of John Philip Newell's book, he says it so beautifully. He simply says to us, all the church really needs to say are three words. Those three words are, God is love. Some of you got it. You know that. God is love. How do we know that? You can pick up the book that guides us. Really, it's the theme of the book. If you had to say, what's the theme of this book? I think most of us could probably get to a place you could say it tells us a story that God is love. It starts with a God who calls forth a people and gives them a promise and a vision. And says, you are my people, and from now on we will forever be together in life's journey. And if you didn't get that concept, God goes the next step further and says, I will come into your human form and dwell with you. And if that's not love, I don't know what is. Trying to be so close to another person that you can sense who he or she is. Think about the intimate relationships that you enjoy, and that's the kind of love you're trying to build. And then finally, there's the gift of love that says, I will forever be with you. A love that says, I will never forsake you. I will be with you to the end of the ages, God says, through God's Spirit. That's pretty awesome when I hear that, because you know what? I'm not going to be here in Altadena, California to the end of the ages, nor are you. But God will be. God was here before I arrived on planet Earth. God will be here with you long after I'm dead and gone. It's an amazing story, is it not? That God is connected to every living being and thing. Because God is the source of every living being and thing. Do you realize the awesomeness of what I'm speaking this morning? And how I have no words to really adequately describe this for you. But as I experience God in my earthly journey, the best image I can come up with is a family. And I want you to just think with me a bit about family. My hunch is your family is now vastly different than when you were born. It is for me. We're born into one family. We have a parent or parents, and we may have siblings, and we have one experience of family life, but that's not your only experience of family. Then perhaps you step out of that family and spin off and create your own family with someone else, and out of that family becomes family, and then in time some of that family spins off. You tend to call that your empty nest time. And you realize a new family comes into existence, and families are continually changing. Every time you move to a new place, you pick up a new family. Every time you move into a new church community, you create a new beloved community that surrounds you and helps you in your journey of faith as you share that experience together. But the family is always about loving you. A good family always makes room for that new person coming into the family and always finds a way to send them off into their future with a blessing and a gift. But we are forever held in the love of family. It's just the folks are in that family circle are constantly changing. But the love is constant. We are held in God's loving family. And the faces are always changing, but the love is always constant. This is an amazing Sunday when you stop and think about it. It gives us an opportunity to do on this Sunday what we often don't do. Because we talk a lot about the manifestations of how God works and what we do to be partners in that work with God and what we're going to go out there and do in God's world. But less do we take the time to really stop and try to say who God is. How do we describe that? And as Patty beautifully said, it can't just necessarily be in words. It may come through music and poetry, which are different ways of speaking language, but it may also be in things that have no vocabulary. You may have woken today and seen a gift of nature that gave you a sense of awe. And that sense of awe drew you closer to the creator of that thing you saw that was so amazing in God's created world. So I'm glad to know that sometimes three does equal one, and one sometimes equals three. But more than that, I'm also glad to know that sometimes I don't need to have a word or the words, that I can simply just be in this presence of God and have some wonder left, have something that will still fill me with awe and amazement. Allow me to see or hear some words or see something I've never seen before and realize I'm part of God's living word and world. So you may want something to take home from this sermon. I may not have given you much of anything. So I'm going to give you one sentence, and I think it sums it up about God. So if you want to talk about God on Trinity Sunday, I would simply say this, that God is the mystery of love that we will always experience, but never fully comprehend. And since it's Trinity Sunday, I'm going to say it two more times. God, the Trinity, is the mystery of love we can always experience, but never fully comprehend. God, the Trinity, is the mystery of love we can always experience, but never fully comprehend. I invite you today and in the weeks to come to spend some time comprehending the slight nuances of the differences between those two phrases. Amen.